Art Week continues here on KUMD as we're getting folks fired up for the Park Point Art Festival coming up this morning. Our guest is Bud Bullivant. He is a wire artist. He is an award-winning wire artist. Or, Bud, do you prefer wire sculptor? How do you like to identify yourself?
I guess I usually call it wire sculpture. What I basically do is a three-dimensional drawing with wire. So most of my artwork is based on natural themes, you know, wildlife and insects and that sort of thing. And that's kind of what I've taken wire sculpture to be for me. And it's a very, very simplified version. I distill it down to just a very bare minimal amount of wire to try to express what it is that I'm trying to show. So,
if someone looked at a photograph, and I had the opportunity to do a little bit of snooping around online and look at your sculpture, and if someone had the opportunity, you know, you look at a photograph, and you look at, for example, a beautiful fish from the side, and you say, well, there's a very simple line drawing of a fish, but you can tell from the photograph that it's indeed a piece of wire. And you think, oh, okay. But then you realize that the fish, because it's a sculpture instead of a line drawing, it's got to look good, not just exactly from the side, but it's got to be like completely straight so that it looks good from all of the sides. If somebody came at it from the front looking at it, and that seems to add like many billions of layers of complexity to something that looks really simple kind of at first glance.
Yes, and you know, that's the thing about it. You know, it has the illusion of being very simple, but when you're creating it, you're thinking about the thickness and the height and the length of things, and you're thinking about the proportions, and you're thinking about the structure of whatever it is you're making, whether it be a fish or a deer or whatever, and trying to kind of capture the essence and the very distilled, you know, necessary parts of it, so that it's very clear. And it's deceptively simple when you're looking at it. But you know, the thing that I try to do is I try to simplify it down to the point where anybody that looks at it will have a memory recall. You know, they'll look at the wire and they won't think wire, they'll think bull moose, or they'll think walleye, or they'll think, you know, fox, because the very limited information that I provide with the wire tells them that that's what it is. They don't see the wire, they see the object that's made from the wire, if that makes sense.
Right, and your mind has to kind of fill in the rest of it.
Right, and they're very difficult to take a good photograph of, because you know, from different angles they look very unusual sometimes, but you know, there are certainly angles that are optimal. You know, when you look at them just so, you can say, oh, exactly, I mean, it makes perfect sense. And then there might be another angle where the eyes seem a little wonky, or you know, something might seem a little out of place, but that's part of the nature of being able to see right through the object also. You know, there's that equivocal space that's kind of, you're not sure exactly why it looks that way until you realize that it's three-dimensional.
Exactly. So yeah. If you have the capability, which you obviously do, of making these beautifully simple line drawings of things that communicate their essence, why didn't you decide to either sketch them or do them in Sharpie or paint them? Why wire?
Well, actually, I did paint wildlife for many years, and I still do that occasionally. But the wire sculpture kind of evolved out of a lesson. I was an art teacher for 34 years, and I, in my very first years of teaching, you know, those years where you're kind of developing your lessons and kind of, you know, the hard work years in teaching, the first one or two years, you develop a whole bunch of new ideas. And I believe I created a lesson based on Alexander Calder's wire sculpture. Probably got an Art and Man or Scholastic Art magazine in the mail, and used that to kind of develop the lesson. And and then, you know, for 20 years when we did that lesson, I would make something with the students, and the kids would all say, oh, these are really cool, you should sell these. And, you know, I was a slow learner, so it took me 20 years to kind of think maybe I should, you know, should actually do that. And I, you know, several years ago, I was on my way home from work, and there was a garage sale. And I stopped in and I bought a big roll of baling wire that was in a big, you know, 5-gallon bucket. And I think I invested, you know, all of like $1 in this big roll of wire. And I started making them and started posting them online. And pretty soon I was selling them pretty regularly. And now 2 years ago, I retired from teaching, and that's kind of what I do. But I gravitated towards the wire after going to art festivals and discovering that watercolor paintings were a lot harder to prepare and a lot harder to display, a lot harder to travel with without them getting nicked and damaged and destroyed even to a certain point at art festivals. And so I kind of simplified down to doing wire sculpture. And it's not something you see at the art festivals. Other people are not doing the kind of work that I'm doing. Whereas, you know, painting, you see plenty of painters at art festivals. And so I kind of chose it as a niche that I would try to fill in, and it has worked out very nicely for me. So that's kind of where it evolved from, but it's been a long evolution. So,
but I'm curious, one final question. I'm curious about the wire that you use. I've been just tinkering around with stuff in the backyard, and so I've had little bits of skinny wire, probably similar to baling wire, and just little bits of skinny wire, and you bend it and it stays bent in that spot. And you know, if you use a tool on wire to bend it a little bit, you can see where it's bent, or if it's been rolled, it stays bent, and you try to bend it one way and it won't. You know, in other words, wire, the kinds of wire that I've always seen are really super not forgiving. Once you put there's a tool mark in it, or once it's bent in one direction, it's almost impossible to get it to go kind of the way you want to do it. Your wire sculpture really does look as though someone took a thick marker or something and just drew in one motion this beautiful smooth outline of whatever. What's your magic, bud?
Well, you know, I joke with people that the magic comes from the $5 or $6 pliers that I bought at Menards. But the truth of the matter is that it's a lot of work to keep that line smooth and straight. And there is no erasing, really, in wire sculpture. You have to kind of create the shape without bending the wire more than you need to, because every time you bend it, you create kinks and wobbles that are really hard to control. But I just use a pliers and my thumbs and fingers to kind of manipulate and smooth and kind of massage the wire into the shape I want. And the wire I'm using is a 16-gauge steel wire, and it's an annealed wire, which is a process that after the wire is extruded and made into wire, they heat it, which makes it more flexible. So, you know, people will ask me if it's a coat hanger, but a coat hanger hasn't been annealed.
Oh, that's what we think about when we think about bending thicker wire. We think, if that cannot be, tell people you make these out of coat hangers.
Right.
And their brains will explode.
Yeah, if you think that, you know, of how brittle a coat hanger can be, if you try to bend it, it will snap.
Yes. So,
and the annealing process is what makes it a little bit more forgiving, a little more soft. And, you know, it's still, you know, even though it's annealed, it still has kind of a spine to it or a little bit of rigidness. And once it's bent and once it's, you know, been worked with, it will harden on its own. They call it work hardening, and somebody with a little background in metallurgy could explain that better than I can. But what it does is after you've bent it, the molecular structure of the steel actually kind of locks itself in place, and so it becomes a little bit more durable. And it becomes more springy rather than flexible. And so my sculptures, although they seem sort of fragile, and every parent that comes into my booth tells their kids, don't touch anything, you know, because they're all worried that it's going to break it. But you know, they're really quite sturdy once they've been, you know, made and left to kind of firm up.
It's fascinating to learn this and folks have, I can't wait to get the pictures up on our website so folks will have an idea of what your work looks like, and they'll definitely want to check it out at the Park Point Art Festival. Thank you so very much for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on your show today. I appreciate it. And say hi to all the Bulldogs out there. I'm actually a Bulldog graduate myself, so you have a wonderful day.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bud. Bud Bullivant, former Bulldog, well, current Bulldog, Bulldog alumni and wire sculptor, our guest this morning as Park Point Art Fair looms at the coming up this weekend. And we continue with Art Week right here on Northland Morning.